This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome you all here the fifth Sunday in Lent. For those at home, our service is Divine Service 3 from the Lutheran Service Book. Hymn numbers 438, 433, 430, 440, 419, and 435. Following the order of service, you receive on the way in, beginning on page 3 with confession and absolution, followed by the sharing of peace and the procession of him. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Let us kneel and receive the confession of sins. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, and bitter sufferings of death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinner me. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in his stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us rise and face the center aisle to share the peace. The lectern side, the peace of the Lord be with you always. The pulpit side, the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thanks be to God. yourself, but only when God, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became a source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the ten heard it, they were indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Wishbone, yeah. What do we use a wishbone for?
Make wishes.
Make
Get in this. I'm not a big one.
Yeah.
A harness, of course. But in part, I mean, it kind of goes like this. And what does this have to do with the lessons? A harness. We actually have something like a harness in church every Sunday. Almost every Sunday. Every Sunday that we're here. Jesus said in Matthew, when we go through our troubles, and we ask him for things, and Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." I didn't bring a yoke. I looked for one, but not hard enough. But the harness kind of works. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly at heart. You will find rest. My yoke is easy. So, the yoke and the harness is actually like similarity to this that we see on our pastors. Does anybody know what this is called? Stole. It's stole. And it is likened. I like this one. I grab this one. Not the purple one. This one's green for our common season. I like it. It has the sacraments on there, the Word of God, the baptism, and the sacrament of the altar, communion. But the stole is likened to the yoke, and it's worn very similar, not unusually. It goes back to after the times of Jesus, maybe the 6th century or so, when pastors would wear the stole, because it is a burden. And it's not in any way to dress up a pastor with truth, right? But it is symbolic. And at this time in Lent, especially when we remember what Jesus has done for us and Christ's work on the cross, his servanthood, that's what Jesus told James and John. He says, "I didn't come here to be served. I didn't come here to sit on a throne. I came here to serve and to give his life." The ultimate service that Christ did for us. He gave his life for us. Hopefully pastors would have never had to give their life to their congregation, but they have a special call, and it is a special symbol. And we should take on that symbol ourselves too. So if you go with me to our Father in prayer, please say the words after me. Heavenly Father, help us to be true to our word. When we ask you for gifts, for comfort, help us see that comfort in your servanthood, your life for us. Amen. We continue with the sermon hymn. My song is Love Unknown on page 8.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At various times we have dreams of glory. Catching the winning touchdown pass at the Super Bowl with no time left on the clock. Executing a perfect triple Lutz in the Olympics ice skating to claim that gold medal. Moving up through the ranks in your company until you're the CEO with the private jet and the huge corner office with the great view of the city. Receiving the award of being Teacher of the Year from a famous Hollywood celebrity. Preaching a sermon to a stadium full of people who hang on every word and are convicted by the law and set free by the gospel. We have dreams of glory. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, have dreams of glory. Jesus taught them, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." James and John must be imagining how amazing it will be when Jesus comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The brothers want to share in that glory and try to trick Jesus into granting their wish without hearing what it is their wish is. They misunderstand Jesus. You can't play verbal games with Jesus because he knows what you're thinking, being that he is God in flesh. You cannot fool him. But the brothers have dreams of glory, even if these dreams of glory come at a strange time. You see, they're on their way to Jerusalem, and Jesus has just told them for the third time what is going to happen in Jerusalem when they arrive. "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." Now, this is not the first time the disciples have had dreams of greatness. Earlier, the disciples argued about who of them was the greatest. And Jesus told them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." But James and John do not let Jesus' words or his warnings deter them from their dreams of glory. They try to trick Jesus into promising to grant them to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. James and John must be picturing themselves together with Jesus, crowned with jewels, dressed in royal robes, sitting on 3 golden thrones in heaven with angels fanning them with palm branches and feeding them grapes and attending to their every need. They have dreams of glory. They have dreams of glory, but Jesus has just told them about his glory. Condemnation, mocking, spitting, flogging, death. Jesus' throne is not golden, but rough wood. There will be no royal robes, only shameful nakedness. There'll be no crown except one made of thorns forced down onto Jesus' head. Instead of attending angels, there will be bullies with fists and sticks and spit and whips. Instead of grapes, there will just be sour wine on a sponge. Instead of honor, there'll be ridicule and mockery. Jesus' glory includes nails driven through his wrists and feet, and hours of excruciating pain and slow suffocation. This is Jesus' glory. This is Jesus at his most glorious, doing the glorious thing that he has come to do. He's paying the price for the sins of humanity. James and John just asked if they could be seated at his right and his left. These are places the Romans have reserved for 2 criminals crucified with Jesus.
Jesus said to James and John, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" Can they drink the cup? Can they undergo the baptism? The brothers say they are able, but they still do not understand what Jesus means. They will later learn, and they will later share in Jesus' suffering, each in his own way. James will be beheaded in 44 AD by Herod Agrippa I, grandson of Herod the Great. John is the only disciple that is thought to have died of natural causes, but we know he was exiled to the remote island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. The brothers have dreams of glory, but their dreams do not fit the reality of glory in Jesus. Glory in Jesus is not found in what the world calls glory. Glory in Jesus is not found in wealth and luxury with lots of people serving you. Glory in Jesus is found in serving others. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. How radically countercultural for glory to be found in service. And how wonderful is the way that Jesus explains these things to the brothers. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? This is the cup of God's wrath that Jesus prays will be taken away from him as he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the reference to the cup also points us to the cup of Holy Communion, in which Jesus pours out for you his own blood to cleanse you of your sins. When you drink of this cup, you remember and proclaim Jesus' death. The cup brings to you the very blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus also asked, are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Jesus is talking about his baptism of blood and suffering on the cross, but it also points us to the baptism of water and the Spirit. So we hear in Romans 6, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Being a Christian is not for the casual observer. As a baptized follower of Jesus, you are immersed into the suffering and death of Jesus and raised up to live a new life of service to others. In baptism, you die with Christ and rise with Christ and look forward to the final resurrection from your grave. Romans 6:4-5. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. In Christ, you are a new creation. In Christ, you find glory in the mundane things of life where you love and serve others. A parent is glorified in the changing of a dirty diaper, taking a sick child to the doctor, caring for your children through all the difficulties and hardships. In Christ, you find glory in shoveling your neighbor's driveway and cutting their lawn. In Christ, you find glory in sending an encouraging note. In Christ, you find glory in loving those who hate you. In Christ, you find glory in persevering through difficulties at work in order to provide for yourself and your family. In Christ, you find glory in doing what you have been given to do. In Christ, you find glory in going to school, doing your homework, going to work, being faithful to your marriage vows, caring for your family, and helping others. You will very likely never catch the winning touchdown pass in the Super Bowl or win an Olympic gold medal. We have unrealistic dreams of worldly glory. You find real glory in Christ. You see Christ's glory in the horror of the cross as he gives his life for you. You find real glory in your everyday service to others, and this gives glory to God. In Matthew 5, in the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You will not find glory in the things of this world. You have glory in Christ. And on the last day, Jesus will raise you from the dead, and he will take you to live with him forever in the heavenly city of New Jerusalem. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Their grace today, Reverend Carol Knott, undergoing chemotherapy. Jim Hosmer, recovering from heart procedures. Don Elrod, who's in hospice. Dick and Candy Tenman, suffering from various illnesses. For John Beckett, who has several medical issues. Mike Miller, Dolores Bowman's son-in-law, suffering from a mysterious stomach ailment. The family of Dan Gardner, Jeanette Judd's uncle, who died this week from COVID. For Judy Gardner, Jeanette Judd's aunt, who's hospitalized with COVID. For Eileen Fitz and Ryder, our LCMS Foundation rep, who has terminal cancer. For Tasha Ray, a school parent recovering from heart surgery. For Maeve Goodwin, Pauline Warner Schultalski's granddaughter recovering from surgery. For Barbara Frode, a friend of Rousselmeyer's, recovering from surgery and will be undergoing chemotherapy. And for Rita Lee, a friend of Rousselmeyer's, recovering from major back surgery. And Gary Benson has been hospitalized with heart issues. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people, according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in these Lenten days, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us to write your word on our hearts, that we might know you as the God who forgives our iniquities and remembers our sins no more. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, bless and sustain Matthew Harrison, our Synod President, Kevin Wilson, our District President, Alan Stuckwish, our circuit visitor, and our pastors, who, like us, are beset with weakness. Grant that they may deal gently with us and keep them faithful in proclaiming your word. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son came not to be served, but to serve. Help us not lord our authority over one another, but humbly serve one another in our homes, communities, and congregations. Christ has so humbly served us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, look with mercy on Joseph, our president, and all those to whom you have given earthly authority. Guard them from the temptation to lord it over us improperly, that they might faithfully serve according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you watch over, protect, and defend us through the service of others. Bless, we pray, the men and women who serve in our military, police forces, and all emergency services who, like your Son, are often called on to lay down their lives for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, as your only begotten Son earned obedience through what he suffered, we pray that you would bless, sustain, and relieve Carolyn, Jim, Don, Dick, Candy, John, Mike, Dan's family, Judy, Eileen, Tasha, Haley, Barbara, Rita, Gary, and all who suffer in our midst. In walking the way of the cross with your Son, they may know the fullness of his eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, you have delivered our souls from death, our eyes from tears, and our feet from stumbling. Comfort all who mourn with this truth, that they may not grieve as others do who have no such hope. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have baptized us with Christ's baptism to be our God, that we might be your people. Grant us faithfully to drink from his cup in this blessed sacrament, that he might sustain our life in him with his flesh and blood. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever.
Thank you.
deliver us from evil. Saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
For you. Blood of Christ shed for you.
William and body of Christ.
Take, drink the blood of Christ.
Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Spirit, one God, now and forever.